It's Monday the 14th of February. Welcome to a Valentine's special edition of Digital Outbox. Hello, it's episode 77. Can you believe we've been doing that number of podcasts this time? I'm Henry, and joining me this evening is Ian. Hello, Ian.
Hello.
That's good. And and Chris?
Good evening. Good very evening.
Good very evening.
Welcome along.
Yeah, welcome along.
Because it's not a complete episode without Chris getting his catchphrase in.
What a catchphrase to have, eh?
Welcome along.
Welcome along. Well, shall we crack on? Because that's normally another catchphrase we've got, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a good
idea. And let's get on with this week's news. We've got loads of news this week. And start with the Nokia and Microsoft strategic partnership. Usually tell me about that.
I'll tell you about that. Basically, Microsoft bought Nokia for nothing.
That does seem what it's...
So, doesn't matter. Well, that's not strictly true either. So, there's a chap called Stephen Elop. Elop? We'll call him Elop because that sounds Ewokish.
He's Finnish, so who knows? It probably is Elop, actually.
Oh, I knew you would put me right. Elop.
Well, they have saunas there as well, where the rest of the world talks about saunas. But, you know, the Finns invented them and they talk about saunas, apparently. So, there you go.
They're wrong.
I've got a story about you in a sauna. Anyway... Let's not go there. Oh, I'm gone.
Yeah, let's crack on.
Elop. I can't remember what the pronunciation was supposed to be. So, ex-Microsoft manager, now chief executive of Nokia, he puts out a memo basically saying our platform's rubbish. 5 days later, they have went with Windows Phone 7 as their smartphone platform.
So, at the moment, they're calling it a high-level... strategic partnership, right? So they're not trying to beat each other, but what they're Nokia is effectively saying is that we are likely to phase out our Symbian. And
they are phasing out Symbian.
So that's going to last for 12 to 18 months.
12 to 18 months is they'll continue developing on. But if you were buying a phone right now, bars pull touch.
Go with Nokia.
It depends what market, doesn't it? It depends what market you're talking about. If you're just buying a phone because you want a phone, then you know it doesn't really matter.
Oh, but it does. Come on.
It matters if you're in the know.
So the controversial bit is there was a lot of rumour whether it was going to be Android or whether it was going to be Microsoft that Nokia was going to partner with. And it's with Microsoft. They've also replaced quite a few of their managers with ex-Microsoft people as well. And it just looks more and more like a takeover than anything else.
Yeah, it does. I mean, there was a huge amount of hoo-ha, wasn't there, about Nokia, because they did put out that big memo saying, you know, we're in a huge crisis, you know, biggest crisis we've ever, you know, experienced. This is a real disaster for the company. So
it's unusual for a company to be that honest, really. Mostly they'd say everything's fine and shiny, even when it's not. So in some respects, it's kind of interesting. But
I think that was just preparing the world for what was to come.
Maybe a bit of a death throw, isn't it? It's certainly they're not the dominant force that they
still sell most phones.
I know it's funny. They do still sell talking about these two companies like this is, you know, the partnership that they need to make work. Otherwise, that's it. But they're massive companies. So actually, it could turn into the behemoth.
Well, it could do. I mean, Nokia is a very interesting company. I mean, if you want to know how Finland as a country is doing, you just look at how Nokia is doing.
Shares, because
it is something like 50% of GDP in Finland is generated by Nokia.
Well, it's now doing 14% less because that's how the market reacted to this announcement. They are 14% down since the announcement. So that's pretty telling as well, isn't it?
And 1,000 Nokia employees also walked out, and it said they walked out in protest, but seemingly the way their work week works is they can take flexible time and take time off, so they decided to take that afternoon off
altogether.
Kind of semi protest.
And
well, I think there was a lot of the people that were working in Symbian.
And yeah, exactly that. And all the research and development department is basically out the door now because they're going to put them back behind. So it's interesting to, I guess, Nokia are going to turn into a hardware firm.
Pretty much.
Yeah, no, I found it interesting because they had really kind of tried to open up Nokia for the, you know, the Symbian for a while, trying to go down the open source route. They tried to get developers in to look at that. It really hadn't kind of worked for them, and so they did kind of try and bring it back in-house again.
They were the company that was ahead of the curve, but they lost it. They weren't able to keep up.
Basically. I'd remember a time when it was just... It was Nokia or nothing.
The N95 was better than the original iPhone by quite a way. But unfortunately, the iPhone just showed the way.
Oh, no, it wasn't. Get a grip.
Now, the iPhone showed the way. The original iPhone was not as good. It just only took another iteration for it to kill it off, really.
The N95 was overrated. Geeks loved it. Everybody hated it.
Well, there we go.
Controversial. A couple other little bits that I must add in. It came out today that allegedly Microsoft's handing over billions in this deal. So they never actually talked figures on Friday. But Elop or whatever his name is, talked
Bob.
About...
Let's just call him Bob. He Bob. Probably is. He's Microsoft Bob, isn't he? Even if he's called Steve, he's actually Microsoft Bob. Wondered what happened to that. Now we know.
He's in charge of Nokia now.
He's in charge of Nokia now.
He said today that people were talking about whether it was millions or tens of millions, and he says replace the M with a B. It's billions.
Wow.
Billions.
So that does sound more like a kind of takeover by all but name.
Yep. And if you're currently a manufacturer making a Windows Phone 7 device and paying money for that, wouldn't you feel great that Microsoft's handing that money back over to Nokia, one of your rivals? So that's not going to... I can't see many people... I mean, they're not going to turn... I mean, the Windows Phone 7 platform isn't going to turn into an Android platform. I can see this just being a Nokia and Microsoft only deal and going forward. Now, in years' time, I don't think you'll be able to buy a Windows Phone 7 from anybody else but Nokia.
Maybe that's the direction they see. They want to do a closed shop like Apple have done.
Maybe. But Elop's first priority is to beat Android. And he's getting no chance of doing that.
Nah, not with the first.
Well, yeah. Well, it'd be interesting to see, though. I mean, you know, if anybody's got a chance of beating Android, it is a Nokia-Microsoft tie-up, isn't it?
But the only way I can see that is if they still punt out their cheap phones and in some way put on what they call Windows Phone 7, so they can turn around and say, like, we've now sold, you know, 20 million by default. I just can't see people going out and choosing that as a platform. Like, Windows Phone 7 itself, I think, is still a decent platform, but there's no apps. The developers, the mindshare's not there.
No, and it is. It really is with Android. I mean, now the Android. There's so many cheap phones from the Far East with Android on them. Loads of people think, I want a smartphone. Don't want to pay the Apple premium. I'll just go and get an Android phone.
I just love the fact it's either Microkia or NoSoft that they're going to be called from now on.
NoSoft.
Neither are particularly endearing, are they? NoSoft, I like though.
I do like NoSoft. That's going to stick. So, Chris, Microsoft event. Seeing as me and Henry know nothing about this.
Well, and I know very little. It's only happened sort of this evening for us. But they have been churning out some announcements basically at their big conference about their mobile devices, of which can be summarised pretty quickly with they are going to integrate Twitter into your people connection. So basically you can look at your friends and see what they're tweeting at integrated into the handset. It will multitask because somehow they've overcome their previous protestations that it used up too much battery. And they're going to release IE9. And they'll have copy and paste by March. So there you go. That was
super.
Yeah.
Great. So, and how long did it take them to say that?
Probably far too long with Mr. Ballmer looking very smart on stage with a suit and red tie.
Was he bouncy?
I don't know. I haven't seen him moving. I've just seen the inanimate pictures. So yeah,
it doesn't bear thinking about anything.
They're stealing WebOS's. They're using WebOS's style of multitasking, where the apps are effectively on little cards, which you can zoom out and swipe between. So a nice little solution. I think WebOS probably does it best. So that's in place.
I was just going to ask, do you know what technically happens with that? I mean, do they actually, you know, the old Palms, you could only have one app running at once. It suspended the app. So you could have an app.
I think there's an element of depends. I think you can implement it as a suspension. You know, you can have a quick app launch in that it'll restart at the right point, but effectively it closes. But I think this is actually allowing third parties to manage that process, and therefore you can have services running in the background properly.
Very good. Very good. Is that... Wow. Well, what about the HP event? That really was quite an event of the week. I wasn't really expecting this.
Weren't you?
Well,
I hadn't heard that it was coming up, but I think that's just me being too busy at work, I think.
Yes, we did. Come on. CES, the first thing HP said was, we've got nothing here. Turn up on February 9th, and we'll show you all our devices.
And well, they have. They've blown everyone
Even
away.
Me, being tired with a splitting headache, can remember the HP beardy guy telling us that.
It's probably because it was HP, and I immediately switched off and thought, well, they'll not have really anything interesting.
But you've got to read...
And of course, actually, you've got to read this whole event was a bit of... This whole event was a bit of a non-starter, wasn't it? It was all kind of smoke and mirrors, and all kind of here's lots of things, but you know, you don't know when you'll get them, and you don't know how much they'll be, and you certainly don't know when you'll get them in Europe.
Now that's a good point. I mean, I read the headlines. I thought this event sounded quite interesting. They announced quite a lot of stuff, but you're right. The main things that you want to know, which is price, time, and you know, and exactly what they weren't that strong on. But
so let's do this really quickly then. An HP Veer is a small kind of pebbly, tiny phone type device that for my muckle hands will be too small. So
yes, it kind of only looks the sort of length of an ear, which is going to be very funny using that as a phone. But looks quite cute.
I had a real fear what you were going to use there. It has the length of a
ear. Ear.
It does show that the WebOS scales quite nicely, because it looked good and people said it rocketed along as far as speed goes. So,
just to say it was WebOS 2.2 and not the new one. But anyway.
Well, that's the same with the Palm Pre as well, wasn't it? The new Pre 3 that they announced.
So,
yeah, I say Palm. I shouldn't say Palm anymore.
No, Palm's gone.
They've gone. Completely stripped any Palm references off of all these devices.
Sad day.
Yes. It fits in the... it fits right in the...
Of your hand. Yeah,
sorry, it fits in the... Oh, I could have had a bit of a trouble with that one, couldn't I? It fits in the... of your hand. Yeah. It fits in... Oh, gee, how do we get around that?
I know what you're trying I don't think they bothered. To do.
So the P3 was much like the previous
P. It looked exactly the same.
But faster.
But then again, we never had a query about how it looked. It looked quite nice. It's a nice little
It did look shape. Nice, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think the one that stood out for me was the touchpad.
So that did was
but can the, very interesting. The Pre's got a 1.4 gigahertz processor in it. That's massive.
No one, yeah, but it might have a battery life of 3 minutes.
Probably does.
So the touchpad. So this was WebOS 3, isn't it?
Yeah. So then
it's
their latest.
It's been rewritten for tablets and also interestingly for PC devices. So they're talking about, in the same way as Google's talking about bringing, Chrome?
Yep.
To PCs. HP are looking at this as maybe a cheap front end onto PCs. But the specs, you know, 10-inch display, looks fast. I love the way when you saw the video demos of how it actually worked.
They've got multitasking sorted. They know how to do it. They know how to visualize it, and it looks a piece of cake from a user's point of view. And they even have this a new feature of stacking multitasking. So if you're in an email and you open up a web browser, that gets visualized as a little stack of things that you've been doing within that app. And you can just get rid of tasks very easily by flicking them off the top of the page, just as you could before. But no, it was really just, it feels when it looks on screen like it's a very well thought out bit of kit.
Yep.
The problem is that they're all using these on prototype devices. And, you know, am I right to be a little bit suspicious of how they'll actually look when they're actually releasing them to production?
I think on it's things like battery life. I think there's going to be the, you know, that's the thing that you can't tell from somebody standing up on stage and doing a demo. You expect most of the things to look good and work well. It's you know, when Apple said there was like a 10-hour battery life in the iPad, I think everybody was like,
no one thought it was possible.
Don't think that's, and then it's like, oh, this is really heavy. Oh, it's a 10-hour battery life. And I still think that's the, you know, people are looking at, I mean, when you see a demo now, you want to see a price, you want to see what the release date is, and you want to know straight away, how is this battery going to be? Yeah. You know, is it going to be 5 hours? It's going to be 7 hours?
Yeah.
You know, so see if it was 5 hours, but you get a lot more functionality, you know, and the front end works a lot better and you get a lot of multitasking, great. But
Or a Kindle, which is going to last for...
forever.
Forever. I mean, I know someone got a Kindle for Christmas, a 3G one. They've charged it once.
Yeah.
Since Infinity. Christmas, and used it every day, you know.
Yeah, as long as you don't have Wi-Fi on it, it's very, very quick.
I think to go back to your point about putting this WebOS on PCs. Excuse me. I think that if I was Microsoft, I would be a bit worried about HP, the largest manufacturer of PCs, coming up with their own operating system. I think
it'll only ever be aimed at netbook type ideas, though, won't it? It won't be not a fully fledged operating system.
But it's just you're seeing more and more people wanting to break away that Wintel type domination. Mm. You know, it's like there's a cheap device and there's more in front end on it, and thanks Microsoft, I don't need to worry about all your, you know, all the baggage that comes with Windows.
Couple of other features I think we should touch on with the touchpad was, well, I really like there was an option to change the size of the on-screen keyboard. Very clever, nice little simple touch. And also they're lording up the idea that this touchpad will talk to the Pre 3, so you can always have the phone, you know, if you've got two devices, you can have the phone functionality through the touchpad, which is just clear.
But they were also demoing it that you kind of touch them together and it passed content between each device. Pass
music, sounds, and it has notifications and things like that. So yeah, it's clever stuff. I don't know why you have to touch them together, but such is life.
It is all good. It's all very good. And maybe they'll sort out that thing which we've said before, which is a bit of a nasty with Apple, and that you need two separate data plans for your devices. You can't share.
I don't think we're going to sort that out.
Well,
I don't think there'll be a sharing there.
We shall see. Other big announcements for devices is the Motorola Zoom.
Yes.
Probably the standout device of CES. Do you think?
Looks awesome, doesn't
was
it?
Was the standout device of CES until they announced the price.
Yes. Well, $800? $800?
So that's the rumoured price.
I was going to say, it is only a rumour.
But the Best Buy pre-order site, which is still live today, has it at $1,200.
Oh, excuse me.
And all that Motorola are saying is that pricing's still being talked about and we expect to be able to do some deals. But that's the site that from this Thursday you pre-order from.
We've seen before where pre-order prices are over-egged just to make sure that they're not underselling.
Oh, the page is gone. Page is gone.
I wouldn't be surprised if it does actually drop below £800, but $800. It's
£800. You're right. You know what? It probably will be £800.
It's not the end of the world. It's quite a nice bit of hardware, but the problem is they're living in the world where Apple will release probably their second gen at the same price that they did the first gen.
But if it's $1,200. When your, what do you call it, your MacBook Airs are coming in at $999. It just doesn't stack up. I just can't see them releasing at that price.
But it is more of a kind of device than, it's trying to do more than the iPad is.
No, but I'm talking about an Air.
You're talking about a MacBook Air.
I'm saying that you can go and buy an Air, which has got a better screen. You can do, the software options on it are far better. The battery life is you know, probably about the same. But you're going to do far more with it for $999. Scary.
Okay.
Scary.
Scary, scary.
Scary, scary. So you're going to buy one?
No.
I don't have the money.
Chris?
I'd like to use one.
Are you considering one? You like to use it?
not really. I'm not thinking about a tablet. So, but if I was, then I'd obviously take it into account. But it's not on my mind yet. So I'll leave that.
I think, as you both said, this was the kind of one that stood out at CES as being like the, you know, just the way it multitasked and it did so much.
Well, it's the new operating. This new Android operating system. So we've got to wait for that to sort of get fully baked as well, and see that fully in action.
Talking about Android devices, did you like that segue? Was that quite good?
It's all right.
Well, I'm really glad you did it, because the next five stories are all Android.
Well, there we go. Sorry, I'm skipping stories now, aren't I? The Samsung Galaxy Tab.
The Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1, because that's its name.
10.1.
Yep. Can I buy the Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1?
Amazingly, it's got a 10.1-inch TFT screen. There you go.
Yes.
Lovely.
Not AMOLED.
No, but would any consumer really spot that?
I don't know. Now I've got my AMOLED screen. It does make quite a difference.
Oh, I like the way you kind of slipped
that in. Nice
the way
you dropped that in.
Do you know, I waited 20 minutes and I thought, when did I mention that you've bought a new phone?
That even
just,
though
just 2 weeks,
full on
2 weeks after recommending, this is a really bad time to buy a phone.
That's right. Is it 2 weeks or is it last week?
When's good advice ever going in the way of?
I think it was last week.
Gadget last. I think I've said really it for the last 3 weeks.
This is a really bad time to buy a phone.
I'm gutted. As soon as I heard him getting on his high horse about it, I was like, even though his high horse is really a donkey, because I can remember that from Red Dead Redemption last year. But as soon as I heard him getting on his donkey,
he needs ladders to get onto his donkey gear as well.
Soon as I heard all this about bad time to buy phones, I was like, that sounds like somebody's getting tempted.
There you go, did it. But I only got it this morning, so I can't really talk knowledgeably about it. Other than the screen is gorgeous and it's AMOLED.
So yeah, Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1, out next month. A 10-inch screen, like the Zoom, it's what they're calling this Google Experience. So basically no front end on it from the manufacturer. It's just whatever honeycomb is what you get with these tablets.
I think it's the future, isn't it? I think that's a good idea for manufacturers to stop banging on their crud. Even though sometimes, like with HTC, they get their crud right, I think it'd be better if they fed it into the actual Android branches rather than their own.
Yep, definitely.
Yep. So Vodafone is seemingly the first carrier that's going to start to carry this.
It's a 1280 by 800 resolution, so is that's widescreen, isn't it?
Yep, and it's higher resolution than the current iPad.
So nice 8 megapixel camera, LED flash, got front-facing camera as well. Looks good.
It's the exact same specs, basically, as a Zoom.
Hmm. So, and also, Galaxy Tab's obviously got a bit of market connection already because of the original that went down rather well if you listen to some areas, you know, some people.
No, definitely.
Yeah. So good, but no price yet.
No price.
But again, having the pure Google front end, I think, is another selling point for it. So good on them.
Yeah. But I would still want to know. Yeah, I don't know why they kind of do this now, don't they? They kind of launch all these things and without telling you battery life or price or even proper launch dates.
To be fair to you, Henry, you'd asked us about whether you were tempted. Are you tempted by any of these devices?
I'm not tempted until I see the iPad 2. So, you know, they're gonna wait until I see an iPad 2. So
of course, we've got the crazy rumours, which I've stuck at the end. I'm just wondering if I should move the crazy rumours.
Yeah, let's have some crazy iPhone or iPad.
Crazy iPhone, crazy.
Hold on, I'll copy them up just so that we don't need to scroll up and down all the time. And it just makes my show note editing far easier later on.
It here breaks they come. Up this, everyone's...
Here they come.
Here they are.
Bated breath. Oh. So rumours. We said we'd never do rumours, but...
Well, we've basically been... I mean, these aren't rumours. This is just the next thing up from rumours. It's only one step up from rumours, isn't it? It's what the manufacturers are, you know, blurb are coming out with and saying, we've got something. We can't tell you much about it, but we've got something coming. You'll
at
love
it. At least it's a manufacturer saying it rather than just a spotty person guessing.
So... I'm going to change that one to the end because that's a beauty. So allegedly, there's an iPhone Mini in development with an edge-to-edge screen, and we've heard that.
Yep, heard that before.
That's not a new rumor.
Mind you, with all their shrinking of all their kind of music devices last year, maybe.
And it does give them another phone device because they only currently have one. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for a phone from Apple, you don't have much choice.
That's true.
The MacBook Airs, which came out in, what, November, December? So they're originally getting Sandy Bridge processors in June, which seems fairly sensible.
And it come, you know, goes in line with their normal release schedule of adding processors, isn't it, and then before, as an interim step.
Yep.
Okay, March the 1st, MacBook Pros, slight redesign, and also coming with Sandy Bridge. I think when I say slight redesign, everybody's expecting the Pros to learn from the MacBook Air designs. So, you know, thinner, do away with DVD drives, all flash.
You reckon it's going to get rid of DVD? I don't think the biggest model will get rid of a DVD drive.
I can't see that really.
No, so see the 17-inch ones? I don't think they'll get rid of it. But I wonder if the 15-inch, they'll say...
But then what's the difference between a MacBook and a Pro then and an Air?
Well, and maybe that's what... Because there's an 11, 13, 15 and 17. And you do wonder if it's just going to end up with a 11... sort of 13, 15 device and a 17. No, and just end up with three. Anyway, we'll find out soon enough.
We shall see.
And now for the good stuff. Mobile Me's going free. Ever since I have bought Mobile Me, I've heard this every year. And every year I've cursed them. I've been, damn you, Steve Jobs. I know you're ill. But
that's right. Could you not give us Mobile Me free?
If there's one thing that I would call an Apple tax, it's Mobile Me.
I'm amazed that they still get people buying it. They must do.
I refuse to buy it.
Oh, I still buy it. I gave it up for a year and went back. I'm flat. Oh, anyway. Oh, I'm getting all annoyed. Right, the good stuff. I'm not even going to mention iPad 2s. The iPad 3 is coming in September.
How's that happening? Where did
someone's just trying to get traffic to their website.
How can I get traffic to their website? I know. Talk about number 3, even though number 2 hasn't even been told about.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
So the reasoning behind this, just so we don't leave everyone in the dark, iPad 2 is going to come out, I don't know, a couple of months' time. It's not going to be much an upgrade. It's processor upgrade, screen's the same, or certainly the resolution's the same. It'll be lighter, same battery life, but everything a bit faster, and it's got cameras. So a bit of a point upgrade. The reason for the iPad 3, the double resolution that everybody's been talking about and saying can't be delivered, is actually getting demoed in Apple right now. They believe it's a product that's coming later this year. There are a couple of people with ins at Apple who are already being told that there is a big product coming in September. So putting two and two together, people are saying it's the iPad 3.
It might just be the iPad 2.
Or it's Apple are going to launch a TV.
Sounds more likely, to be honest.
And it's people trying to work out the 4-point-something billion that they're handing over to the three manufacturers of display technology. What is it for? iPad 2s? iPad 3s? TVs? Who knows? That's a great set of rumours.
That's a fantastic set of rumours. Yeah, pure speculation. Yeah, great. What about Sony phones then?
Oh.
Another set of announcements that have just happened this week.
We'll do these really quick. Yeah. Right, so they're all Android devices. There's the Xperia Neo, which is a really nice looking Android phone, 3.7 inch screen. It comes in three colours, silver, red or blue. basically specs much the same, but it does look to have a really cruddy kind of Sony front end on it, which gives me the fear.
But it does have an HDTV output via HDMI.
Yes.
Which is interesting. I mean, Nokia have got them on some of their phones at the moment, haven't they? An HDMI output, which is quite smart. But
So the second phone was the Xperia Pro. I guess similar looking, except it's a bit thicker because underneath there's a slide-out keyboard. So if you're one of these kind of mad, I need to text everybody in the world, or email loads of people, and you like a keyboard, then that's for you.
Is it for you, though?
I mean, not for me.
I mean, if you do like it, is it really a really decent-sized keyboard? Or is it just one of those little piddly things that you think, oh, that'll be great, I'll be able to use a keyboard, and actually, if you're all fingers and thumbs anyway, you struggle to use it. You're actually easier
I'd struggle. The size of my fingers and hands, it's not going to work. The final one is the Xperia Play. So this is the angle a lot of people were calling the kind of the PSP phone or whatever. and got confused between the PSP2 and a phone that has an official Sony certified PlayStation controller. So you slide it out and you've got this controller, which and it's coming with some PS1 games and also some Android games. And that's in March. So there's a, I guess one of the things, a lot of these things that are getting announced are coming very, very soon. It's not going to be 6 months away.
It's interesting to see that Sony didn't decide to go and build their own platform, that they obviously thought Android was a much more optimized route into this. And so that's kind of interesting. That shows, again, it's another direction that companies, you know, willing to run off the back of this, because why bother to reinvent the wheel kind of thing? So that's
quite a big step, actually. Something that... Yeah, but you've got something there, haven't you? I mean, Android, it's quite a, it's actually got its own kind of cachet anyway. It's got its own kind of brand. So you're actually, by being able to plug into the Android brand as well as the Sony brand, plus you've got something there that's up and running. You don't need to spend huge amounts of money in development because you've got something that's there. I think it makes a lot of sense for a lot of companies to use that. I mean... You know, I mean, how much is Microsoft spending on Windows Phone 7?
Billions.
An awful lot.
And Nokia kind of pulling out of Symbian and making it kind of just a hobbyist kind of thing. You know, there's... and I don't know how much Apple are spending on their iOS, but, you know... Interesting. But how popular is Android?
Chris, how popular is Android?
Very popular. It's surely the place or the handset to have right now. but no, basically...
You fanboy.
He's already just admitted he's only played with his phone for 10 minutes
Apple,
and already
schmapple.
He's like, Apple schmapple.
Basically,
Android, rah, rah, rah.
Eric Schmidt would be proud of you right now.
Google have put their... I.O. conference tickets on sale. If you were hoping for one, then tough, because they sold out in 59 minutes, which is incredible. I don't think it can be lightly stated that last year's event, they gave away, Google gave to every single attendee.
Two phones.
The most of, and not just two phones, but the best phones on the Android market, yep, at the time. They gave just, basically, I think, that has a lot to do with why it sold out so damn quick, because people pretty much know that they're going to get a nice bit of hardware for their money. And it's
that's
amazing,
right, they
how
think,
far
you know,
a sweaty coder will go to go and get his hands on some nice hardware.
Well, you know, you think $450 for the conference, and you know, if you're getting anything decent like that, you think, wow, that's
a damn cheap, you know, unlocked device, isn't it, basically?
Absolutely.
But yeah, they sort of... Google are obviously touting this and saying, you know, first conference didn't, you know, sold out in 90 days, second in 50. So this is a pretty big step up. But also it does highlight how much momentum Android's got at the moment, and how, you know, the last few events, really Android was still in its formation. You're smiling at me. You're giggling at me. Anyway, it's in its
formation. I'm just thinking, how gutted will these guys be if they just get a CD?
Well,
everyone else would laugh.
There was one podcast already was talking about how surely this year they'll give out tablets. And you just know, if you don't hand out a tablet, if I don't get a Zoom, if you turn up in May, there's just going to be people going, oh, I want to get this phone.
I got a goodie bag.
I got a goodie bag with a CD.
And one other thing to point out, that the reason I'm smiling, the previous attendees got to pre-register this year. So about 4 weeks before me and mortals could go and register, if you attended last year, you could sign up
again.
So
actually, if a lot of them returned, then there weren't a lot of spaces left over anyway.
You know, so exactly. So if there was only like 20 seats left, selling out in 59 minutes isn't the kind
of just,
best
I think
ever.
It's, but no matter what, I think it does show that there's a lot of momentum. And I think there's some figures here that we've got about
market share, that's the word.
I thought it was how much plastic surgery shares had. Anyway, it's just when you said share, it didn't sound like share.
Ah.
It sounded like share.
Oh, when you say it, it sounds like a Scotsman saying it.
Go on, crack on.
So basically, it's just, again, these share figures are kind of showing the rampant increase of Android up the share market. So it's 888.8% increase over 2010. which in anyone's book is pretty special. They're in second place, still behind Symbian. So again, Nokia, who we're saying is going to die, still the biggest market share of everyone. But obviously that is being eroded quite quick. iOS is up to fourth place. I think they've seen a growth as well, haven't they? And I think that if this was done on revenues, I think iOS would be still winning hands down. I'm not sure about that, but they've made so much
money. I'm not sure either, actually. I'm not sure either because the amount of Android devices that are getting sold is crazy.
Yeah, but you don't get any revenue for that.
There's not that many companies who get $6 billion profit or $1 billion profit in one quarter.
Google doesn't get any revenue from Android. You sign up for nothing. You can get it for nothing.
Okay. Fine.
Good.
Great. All right, let's move on. Google, two-step verification.
Yes. I don't know if any of you guys have signed up for this.
Nope.
I haven't done yet.
But basically, they talked about doing this last year and have now rolled it out. So instead of just actually putting in your password when you sign into Gmail, you now can fire up an app or get sent an SMS with a code. So you also have to put that code in as well. It's obviously making your login much more secure.
Yeah, we talked about this, I think, probably at the end of last year, where the equivalent of those little keys that you hold if you've got a server access or something at home and have a code that syncs with the actual main server. So you have to have a bit of physical hardware as well as your knowledge of your username and password to actually access to make things safer. So you double-proof, just like one of the things that Ian's showing us.
A little secure ID token.
Yeah. So it's you've got to have a piece of hardware and the email and password to actually get in. So just adds that extra little bit of blockage. In fact, it's not just a little bit of blockage. It's actually a pretty difficult one to get past, really.
Hmm. So, yep. Good for them.
I think we'll see it much, much more.
Yeah. I'm just wondering about this, though. Surely if you're using that on your phone, right? If someone else has got your phone, then surely they can just request that.
But they still need your username password.
Yeah, surely they know your username password. But how is it any better than, you know, if they know my username and password because they've got my phone?
They can't do it via a remote hacking attempt, you know, dictionary attack, because they need the... And that's how most hacking attempts happen. So if someone's going after you and willing to steal your phone and, you know... Get your username password out.
They need the physical hardware,
but they can't just do it remotely.
Yep, that's great. Stand corrected. Obviously, I have no idea what I'm talking about. That's fine. We'll move on.
You obviously don't spend your evenings doing remote hacking attempts.
Moving swiftly.
Jolly
on.
Well, hope not.
Let's move swiftly on.
Nor do I.
Google's hitting the iPhone hard.
Yes, give it a good old slap.
Slip, slap, slop.
Well, it's just I guess it's since like the kind of Google Voice app appeared, we're now seeing a lot more apps from Google. So it's not just like web services that they're starting to focus on, it's actual proper apps. The first one was Google Shopper. So you can, and I guess usual range of services, you can search via photo, voice, text, or barcode, returns a list of shops. But also brings back reviews alongside that as well for both the shop and the product, and it keeps a full history, and then you can tweet out or Facebook. And I guess the only surprise was there was no buzz option, or maybe that's not a surprise.
Really?
And Google Translate,
nice little app. Nice app.
I just played around with that. Just first of all, it doesn't do Scottish very well, or Glaswegian, I should say. It seems to think fish is fresh. And and other words like that. But you can speak your whatever you want to translate, or you can type it in.
I like the way though that you could type something in; it would bring back the translation, but then you could listen to the translation in the language.
Because
getting the proper pronunciation and things of a foreign language is key. So you can't. It's not just good for being able to read a foreign language, but actually you get to listen to how it sounds, which is very good.
But I mean, it was, and it's the fact that on this one little app, it can take voice input for 15 languages, and it'll translate and speak back in up to 23. It's just phenomenal.
Right.
I thought it was a great Android.
Trying to work out which one is which when they're all speaking 23 languages at once is quite difficult.
But like,
I think Google Goggles Google now also... Awesome. Doesn't Google Goggles also take... You can scan in text and it does that translation for you?
Yeah, that's
right. Does it?
Mm. Yeah, that's what Google Goggles does.
But I know the Android version, which you'll be able to confirm for us next week on our Android special edition of Digital Lightbox.
You mean this isn't an Android special? We're not talking to anything else.
But I think Android does live translations. So as you're actually speaking, it'll play it back in the other, in the whatever selected language you want. So
exciting stuff. I will have a checkout.
Brilliant. Now, are we getting some apps for the iPlayer?
Yes.
Woo-hoo.
Woo. So I now have an iPlayer app on my iPad.
Is it out now, is it?
Yes, it came out last Thursday.
There you go.
Woo. Brilliant.
Yes.
And it's also coming to Android?
Yes.
As long as you've got Android 2.2, Froyo, you can have that as well.
Because it's Flash.
Yes, they've made it Flash based to apparently appease media people to stop to show that they can have DRM in it, basically, it seems. But yes, if you can also have it on your mobile device, but you can't have it yet on your Apple iPhone.
What's it like on the iPad, Ian?
In some ways it felt very similar to the actual website. You'd fire it up, you could pick something to watch, but I actually thought the video quality was a lot better, and even just being able to swipe between different, you know, days, and the touch was a lot better implemented. So, but there was no...
Go on.
No, you go.
I was going to say, so it's basically, from what I've heard, and I haven't actually seen it in action, but it's the website plus some just interactive, as far as, you know, you can use the navigation a bit more in depth.
Yes. And I don't know whether they just wanted to get a version one out and then maybe build on it going forward, mm-hmm. or whether they're a bit scared of all the kind of, you know, if they focus too much on the, and there was no way to download, you know, content and play it back later. Which would have been nice.
And is it Wi-Fi or 3G? Is it 3G?
It'll work over 3G, allowing you to browse what's available, but it'll only play back if you've got Wi-Fi or if you've got one of the Wi-Fi devices.
But if the unique selling point is that you can stream live TV and radio, is that right? So you can actually watch live TV and radio.
Yes.
So that's pretty good.
And if you double click the home button when you're playing it, it will via AirPlay. So if you've got an Apple TV, it will send the audio to your Apple TV. And everybody's expecting, or everybody kind of knows, that when 4.3 comes out, which is the new iOS. The new iOS, yeah, operating system. That's
saying it right, yeah.
Yeah, I got really confused there. I was like, what have I just said? When that comes out, which everybody's expecting to do tomorrow, because the daily goes paid from Wednesday. So it really has to be out for that.
It has to be out for that, yeah.
Yeah. So when that comes out, seemingly it'll also do video. So you can pick what you want to watch, send it to your Apple TV, and then sit back and watch.
There you go. Exciting.
Indeed.
Very good. So Last FM has moved to a mobile subscription model.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
Do you know, I still used it occasionally, actually.
I haven't used it for a long time now.
No, I'd maybe use it, I guess, maybe once a month, a couple of times a month. So not often. But they're now moving to you have to actually pay for that, so it's a premium rather than a free feature.
I don't think it's surprising. We're talking £3 a month rather than Spotify's £9.99. But you do get with Last FM, you don't get to choose tracks on demand. Is that right? It's more like the Pandora model of just sort of a radio station where you can say your preferences.
Yeah.
They kind of hid it behind the fact that they're saying that the model, you know, doesn't work for mobile devices because it's this new arena. But, I mean, that's not really true. They just want to make some money out of it, and they're not making money out of it at the moment, I guess. Well, they're probably losing money on mobile devices because they can't get the advertising revenue.
Yeah. So, bit of a shame.
I think, I think that's a dead service. I can't see many people signing up to that.
No, because you can't do what you want to do, which is listen to the tracks you want to listen to, the time you want to listen to them.
No, I mean, you just as well just listen to a free radio stream, buy an app,
basically.
Buy an app.
Great. So, but there's been some cuts at Activision with Guitar Hero going, DJ Hero going, True Crime gone. They're all cancelled.
All massive, well, previously massive, games, basically. I can't think of the right word I'm looking for, but...
franchises, aren't they?
Yeah, really? So Guitar Hero used to be the biggest game franchise, I would say. And now it is no more because Activision's saying they can't make money out of it anymore.
How many of these things can you sell, really? You know, I mean, once you've got all the tracks that you want to play, then you know,
that's it. It's almost reselling the same model. But I mean, at one point, it was the biggest online music sales were done via these games. You know that, but I guess they just can't support it anymore. I'm not saying.
There's only so many years that a consumer can spend £100 or £120 on a plastic guitar, and you can't keep asking them to buy another plastic guitar.
Once the novelty's worn off as well, just buying a game purely for the extra tracks as well doesn't seem that exciting, does it?
Really? No, and of course, Rock Band is also they've sold off that to somebody else, haven't they? So it's now an independent.
Well, Rock Band was also always a different company, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure it was never.
Yes, it was absolutely. It's not Activision, but they have previously, you know, they've said they couldn't make money out of that, so they've farmed it out to somebody else who's trying to sell it independently. But
I think Rock Band, I mean, they're still going. They're still going to bring out a new version this year, but they did say last year was more of a challenge. Mm. So I think the market's plateaued.
Yeah.
People have moved
on. It's not surprising. Yep. It was the in thing, and now it's people just lose interest, don't they? I mean, but it does mean 500 jobs again, which is, you know, the downside of all this market frivolity and, you know, fickleness. So 500 jobs are going. But they did announce that their Activision are still making money. I mean, there's something to do with World of Warcraft, is that right? I don't know where the tie-ins all happen, but they're making money out of Blizzard and that kind of stuff hand over fist. So,
oh yeah, I mean it's
they're not struggling. They had a good profit year. They're just trying to chop off the bits that are losing them money, I guess.
No, and I think the sales for Guitar Hero were shocking. I think it went to the charts for just 1 week and then disappeared again.
Yeah, it fell off a cliff.
Yep.
Yep. So we've got a geek that saved 172 BBC websites for $3.99.
Yeah, so this is we've covered this before. BBC, massive cutbacks, and you know everybody's having to face some pain thanks to the state of the economy. So this guy decided that. sorry, I can't not laugh at you eating a slice of pizza.
What you were reaching down for.
Well, I manfully try and talk about BBC websites. I can see you blushing from here. You picked up in Chris blushing a couple of weeks ago. You should be ashamed. Anyway, there's this chap decided that he could actually help. So he bought a web server for $3.99 a month. He then set up some scripts. He spidered the 172 websites that are being axed by the BBC, grabbed all that content, which, and you might think that took like, you know, days. I think it was less than 24 hours the scripts were running, and he grabbed all the content and then he made it available via torrent. So the data is there and can be grabbed. I think it was just the fact that, and it is nonsense, it's the fact that, you know, for such a small amount of money that this data has now been saved, preserved, whatever way you want to look at it. And you know, BBC's talked about, oh, we're going to save all this money. You're not going to save a lot of money by doing this. You could easily have archived.
You're missing the point. It's not about archiving it. You know, anyone can archive it. It's about the manpower that keeps these things going, as in
yeah.
the new content.
No, but yeah. the But they talked about, saving money by taking all these top level domains away. This was one of their bullet points on their money saving. This is how we're going to go through it, and we're going to cut this. We'll cut 172 top level domains, as if that's going to save, you know, thousands of pounds. And it's
It can save someone having to manage all those domains and then back them all up and make sure they're on the infrastructure and all that kind of good stuff. So I think this misses the point somehow, but I guess it also points out that yes, you can keep these sites as they are, you know, in perpetuity.
Well, as usual, the truth is coming out, because the BBC posted today saying that not all that content's getting deleted and it is getting shuffled along elsewhere.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, stop lying.
Yeah. Well, of course it was. I mean, it was a whole load of stuff that was going to, you know, could have always been taken over by enthusiasts and things anyway, you know, particularly like the Hitchhiker's Guide website. Loads of people want to do that.
I want the BBC to keep lying if it means that they don't have to really make cuts.
Anyway, I just read about our new archiving policy today. It's infinity. You have to keep stuff for
infinity.
Yeah.
To infinity and beyond.
It's a bit of an overhead of data storage.
I thought that was a bit of a overhead as well. Anyway, enough work.
Very good. What about some picks? Have we got some picks this week? Actually, we've all got a pick, haven't we?
Amazing.
What's your pick this week?
I'll do mine first, and I'll let you get another bit of pizza. So, my pick, I will hold up to the camera again, because nobody at home can see it.
I can describe what I'm seeing, though.
I have an iPad. Easy Tiger.
I was going to say, if you imagine a crayon you had as a kid, now supersize it, make it out of aluminium, and take the word Crayola off of it.
And write Just Mobile on it. So yes, this is the, I need to remember what it's called, the Just Mobile AluPen. And it's a stylus. It's not specifically for iPads. You can use it on, I guess, any kind of, you know,
resist
Android-y touchscreen.
Resistive. Or is it capacitive? I can't remember which way it is.
No, capacitive. It's capacitive. The thing I like about this, because I got another stylus last year, and it had a kind of sponge ending on it, and it just, although it worked, it just felt terrible as you used it. So I saw somebody using this last week. One of the guys in at work had brought in his iPad, and he was using this, and I was like, "What is that? That looks lovely." And as you see, it's a supersized crayon, silver, feels nice. But most importantly, it looks like a big tip in the end, but it actually allows for really nice detail. You know, it's far, far more detail than using your finger. So it's for taking like notes, I always found with a finger, you ended up with any writing, it was big. With this, you can get a lot smaller, a lot more detail. And it's only, now, here's my top tip. Buy it from Amazon. It's 14 quid. If you go to the official website, it's 30 quid.
14 quid, yeah. So,
14 quid.
In cold countries where people were wearing gloves and stuff and couldn't use their... their devices properly, they were sticking salami onto their fingertips of their gloves to do this. So couldn't you have just spent, you know, a quid on a big salami from Tesco's and got the rather the same effect?
I could send you some of the pepperoni from my pizza.
but you're forgetting that the salami that they were using was still wrapped, so it didn't make a mess to the screen. Can you imagine if Henry smeared his pepperoni all over my iPad right now?
Too late.
But, you know, you could have bought just a nice set of salami and then had a snack when you finished.
Anyway, that's my pick. £14. It actually works really well.
Brilliant. Chris, what's your pick?
My pick this week is a bit of hardware, which I have got called Supertooth Buddy. And basically, it is a hands-free kit for your car. But it is a visor install kit. So basically, you just have a clip that sits on your sun visor above your head, and it, with a magnet, it sticks to it. So it's perfectly transportable. There's no wiring, nothing, and it just hooks up to your Bluetooth Bluetooth device. In fact, it can hook up to two, and it works like a little treat. So you just have power, volume buttons, call pickup, and call stop on the front of the device. The audio comes through nice and clear, and apparently your voice also is nice and clear. So if you've got more than one car and you don't want to have to put a proper solution in, this is great. 35 quid from Amazon. Supertooth Buddy.
So does that plug into your car stereo or not?
No, it's got an inbuilt speaker.
Inbuilt speaker.
So it's loud enough to hear. It's clear enough to hear as well. It's not a bad little speaker for a small narrow device. But no, it doesn't actually hook into your stereo. There are other devices that will do that, but the problem with FM sort of transmitting or whatever is, as the solution, is that you do get static and stuff. So actually having a little inbuilt speaker is probably a better solution.
Very good. Excellent. Well, my pick this week is gifgaff.com, which is basically a social network for your mobile phone kind of tariff. So they don't sell any phones, but they have pay-as-you-go tariffs with free SIM cards. At the moment, they're doing unlimited internet, and it's from just £5.
Unlimited internet, and really what they kind of do, £5.
Yep, I think that will change from the end of this month, when it'll probably be unlimited internet for a month. You know, as long as you kind of once.
But
you
I've
top
just
up.
Signed up to a 2-year deal. This sounds much better.
yeah, it's amazing. So obviously you have to buy your phone as a pay-as-you-go phone. Mm-hmm. You have to get the hardware from somewhere else. And obviously you need it unlocked. You need your phone unlocked. But, you know, there's lots of these new Android phones coming along now. Maybe worth having a look at, ditching your mobile network. The other thing they do is, of course, a big referral scheme where you can order SIM cards if you're a subscriber, and you can give them to your friends, and the code on the SIM card is tracked by the website, so that whenever anybody signs up using that SIM card, both of you get an extra £5 credit.
There you go. I'm just looking on the site. It's to get the unlimited internet, it's £10, so you have to do a £10, but that's not bad, is it? Well, that's what it looks like.
That's what's kind of coming. But if once you've at the moment it's free. They've got these kind of goodie bags that you kind of top up with, depending on whether you like texts or web or minutes. So you kind of make things up the way you want. And the idea is it's more of a kind of a community thing. It does run on the O2 network, so that might be something for you if you don't get very good O2 reception round about where you are. But it's kind of much more kind of community based. They're trying to get people kind of
that's what I'm just reading about. The mobile network run by you is what it's described as.
Yeah, so it's really like a kind of a social network, but for your mobile phone contract. Interesting kind of setup, and certainly worth a look. And particularly if you've got a family, several mobile phones. GiftGaff to GiftGaff calls are always free. So, one of those things as well, you're not tied into a huge contract. So even if this thing goes, and they'll do, a transfer your number as well, port your number over. So even if it goes belly up in the next month or two, you've really not lost anything.
Mm. So,
there you go.
Worth having a look at. Right. Well, that's us for this week. Big long podcast. And apart from that, mention of Valentine's Day at the beginning, we've not mentioned it at all.
Well, just a whole lot of geek loving.
A whole lot of geek loving. Yeah, well, there is that, isn't there?
Well, we can narrow it to a hold of Android love.
Yeah. Android love. That sounds wrong somehow.
Why?
In so many levels.
And you, I'm sure you definitely loved your pizza as well.
I'm about to get the rest of it. I only had two bites. I thought you would be able to talk for ages without me and nobody would notice. But there we go. There we go.
It was the crafty look in your face as you were biting into the slice. See if you just picked up the slice and ate it. I'd have thought, fair dues. He's been out walking all day. He's hosting the podcast. He wants his slice of pizza, crack on. But no, it was like, will anybody spot me eating this massive slice of pizza? Oh, they have.
Yeah, found out. There we go. Well, that's us. You can find us at digitaloutbox.com. You can email info@digitaloutbox.com. And we're also on Twitter, Digital Outbox, and Skype also is Digital Outbox. Ian, where can we find you?
My blog is iand.net, and my Twitter is Shweepa.
Chris, what about you?
I'm on Twitter as Cheesy UK.
I'm on Twitter as Talk Rhubarb. This is Digital Outbox. Thanks for listening. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Well done on the first hosting.
Yay. I think Henry hosted once before, didn't he?
No.
No, I managed to dodge it.
Did you?
Yeah.
I started and then ran out after 5 minutes. No, no, no.
Yeah, and well done for getting to the end of the podcast.
It was tricky.
That's the first podcast you've been all the way through this year.
You're right.